Who's ready for a new you? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm ready for a new me. Are you ready for a new you? We are in the series, A New You, and we're discovering that Scripture is full of the promise that God has a lot of new things for us as believers that He's wanting to give us, right? A new heart. He wants to give us a new mind. He wants to give us a new spirit. He wants to give us a new attitude. He wants to change the way we think, our new mind. He wants to give us a new covenant. He's got a new day. We got all the Scripture full of the new things that God wants to give us. So we as believers need to stop wearing the old thing and put on the new nature that God has got for us and learn to walk in it, be empowered by it, and quit being stuck. Some of you are still stuck with that spiritual mullet. Come on now. You know, it's one thing if you just screw the mullet out this year because you're trying to bring it back. But it's another thing if you've been wearing it since 1984. Okay? Different story. Some of you are stuck in the same style because you haven't put on the new nature that God has for you. And so today, I believe, we've been talking about the importance of some new things in our life. We talked about the importance of changing our attitude, not having the victim mentality, so we can walk victorious, learning to change and quit seeing ourselves as the victim, acting as the victim. Now, one of the ways now that we put on the new nature that God's talking about is we got to learn to be led by the new spirit that He has for us. Turn to your neighbor and say, He's got a new spirit. A new spirit He wants for us. We're going to talk about that today, a new spirit. Let's go right to Ezekiel, and let's talk about the new spirit given to us. Ezekiel made the promise that he said, God said, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. There is a new spirit. How do we walk in the new nature? How do we walk in this new person God's called us to be? It happens when we learn to be empowered by the new spirit. Listen, without the new spirit, the rest of it's not going to happen, okay? You're not going to walk in the new things of God unless you've been led, being led by the new spirit. So today we're talking about being led by the spirit, this new spirit. And let's go right to our opening text in Jeremiah 18. We see here, verses 1 through 6, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house. And there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand, so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. And so we see the story here where the Lord was speaking to Jeremiah saying, go down to the potter's house. Watch him remake. Watch him make the vessel. And as he's making the pot, of course, the clay was not shaped right. It was something imperfection. It was marred, which means imperfected. And so he had to crumble it back down, reshape it, and form it into the vessel that God had for it. And he says, this is the same thing. And he said, Jeremiah, this is the same thing that I, the Lord, want to do in our lives as believers. God puts us through times when he wants to remake us. I believe the most powerful prayer, the most important prayer that we can pray as believers now, the most important prayer we can pray is, God, make me. Let me say again. The most important prayer we can pray as believers is, God, make me. You see, we are really good about, God, bless me, and God, use me. God, use me. God, bless me. God, use me. God, bless me. Come on. We're really good at those prayers, aren't we? God, use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. God, bless me. God, bless me. God, bless me. But the most mature and important prayer we can pray is, God, make me. There's a big difference. We have got to learn, as we walk in this new you, our prayer becomes from the immature of always saying, God, you're my spiritual ATM. give me, and change it into God, you, remake me, use me. See, but this is the problem we have. Let's look at the most important problem we have. The problem we want is this. We want God to use us, but we don't want him to make us. That's the problem. We want God to use us, but we don't want God to make us. And I've seen so many people I've met over my lifetime in ministry that have come up and said, I want God to use me, but they don't want God to reshape them. I remember one time I had a young man come to me after the end of a service. We had a great service, dynamic service. And he came to me several years ago and he said, Pastor, man, God's really speaking to me. God gave me a vision. He gave me a vision. I was going to be preaching in front of thousands of people. I saw myself like T.D. Jakes. That's what he told me. He said, I saw myself like T.D. Jakes. He goes, and I was there, and I was preaching to thousands of people. God gave me this. What I need to do next? What do I need to do next? You tell me, Pastor, and I'll do. Tell me what I need to do next. I said, well, the first thing you need to do is you need to go back, and you need to leave your girlfriend and go back and reconcile with your wife. He didn't want to hear that, did he? That was not a good thing. He wasn't like, oh, man, you mean I got to go back and change? And wow. I'm like, you need to go back and ask your wife to forgive you for leaving the family. And you need to go back and try to reconcile that marriage. And if she won't take you back, then you need to at least end that on the best you can. Apologize, repent to her and your family, and then take care of that before you move forward with your next relationship. You know what? He left very sad. And eventually he did it. But it took him a long time to get there. And I will tell you this, that I've met people time and time again that want God to use them, but they never want God to make them. They never want to let God reshape them. They never want to let God take them and make them pliable again to reshape them. Everybody wants to be used of God, right? Let me just tell you this. Let's get over ourselves when it comes to being used of God. Let me tell you, you don't have to be great for God to use you. Look in the scripture. God used some pretty messed up people, didn't he? Even one time he used the donkey, okay? And I can tell you there's times that God has used me greatly when I was acting like a donkey all week at home to my wife. So what I'm trying to tell you is this, that it doesn't mean we're all great when God uses us. Because God can use anybody who's willing for God to use them. We got to quit idolizing God using us. And what we need to get back to, the mature person, says, God, make me. Reshape me. God, make me. He will use you. He'll use you greatly if he can remake you into the vessel he wants us to be. But that means that we have got to be willing to be pliable. Who's messed up, the potter or the clay? We just read the story. Who was messed up, the potter? The potter didn't make the mistake. It was the clay that was marred. It's you and I. We're the ones who are messed up. We're the ones who need to be reshaped, remade. And there's nothing wrong. We need to listen. We need to go through seasons of being reshaped. We need to realize this, that there are seasons in our life when we've got to allow God to reshape us. And there's nothing wrong with that. I can tell you, even as a pastor, that there are seasons in my life where I feel God is reshaping me, and I've got to humble myself to God. Reshape the way I'm thinking. God, reshape me in my spirit. God, renew me. Reshape me. There's nothing wrong with that. That means God's preparing you for a new season. God's preparing you for something new. We've got to get through this idea of saying, you know, God, use me, and come back saying, God, make me. See, we see this example in the prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son? God, give me. Father, give me. Father, give me. Father, give me. I want my inheritance now. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's my money and I want it now. This is the attitude he had. It's mine, I want it now. It's mine, I want it now. God, Dad, give me my inheritance now. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. He was immature. And his dad gave him that even though he's immature. Of course, what happens? It says he went out, wasted on prodigal living. He partied all the way. He was broke, busted, and disgusted, living with the pigs, feeding the pigs pen. And he came to his senses and said, man, I need to go home to Dad. I need to say, Dad, make me as one of your servants. Notice the difference. When he left home, it was, Dad, give me, give me, give me. And when he matured and came back and walked into the fullness of the Father's blessing, it was the attitude, Dad, make me as one of your servants. Dad, I'm not entitled to anything. Dad, just make me. Dad, just make me. You see the difference? See, the immature believer sits around, God, give me, give me, give me. Give me my man. Give me my job. Give me my ministry. Give me this. Give me that. Give me my car. Give me my promotion. Everything's God, give me, give me, give me. And when the mature believer changes that prayer from God, give me, to God, you make me into what you want me to be. God, you reshape me into what you want me to be. See, this is how we become led by the Spirit, is we learn to submit to the potter and let the potter do what he wants to do with us. So how do I let the potter reshape me? I do this simply by learning to surrender and submit all of my heart, all of me. We just finished the series last summer on going all in. Remember that? All in. That was a great series. Many of you went all in this summer and you jumped in and said, man, I'm learning to give God everything. This is the same principle. When I go all in and say, God, I'm surrendering fully to you, I'm allowing the Spirit, I want the Spirit to lead me. I want to go all in. Look at this equation. I love this equation. I've used it before and I want to use it again today. Knowledge. Look at this. Knowledge plus a hard heart equals no growth. But knowledge plus a surrendered heart equals change and growth. Let me explain it to you this way. You can have all the notes of 10 years worth of sermons on your phone. You can have all the knowledge. You've sat under some of the greatest teachers. You can watch people online. You can listen to some of the greatest pastors online and podcasts. And you can read the best books. And you can get knowledge after knowledge after knowledge poured into you week after week. But if your heart is hardened, set in its ways, not pliable, not letting yourself become like soft clay, that, all right, God, whatever you want to do with me, the knowledge produces no change in your life. But when you combine the knowledge you're getting weekly through being under the teachings and the knowledge you're getting when you're on your own, when you're reading the Bible and you're hearing other ministers and reading great books, the best book you can read is the Bible. When I take the knowledge and I take it plus the pliable heart, that produces change and growth. That produces seasons of God changing me and making me change. Listen, look what 2 Corinthians says in 3:18. But we all with unveiled faces behold as in the mirror the glory of God, the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed into the same image from where? Glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we are what? We are reflecting who God is, the glory of God. We are being transformed, reshaped, right? Reshaped, remade into the same image from glory to glory. Now remember when I talked to you about this word glory to glory, we see in Scripture, it means from season to season, from level to level. That God's got something he wants us to go to. He expects us to go from glory to glory. A different season. A deeper level of understanding. A deeper understanding of who he is. For us to walk in this levels from glory to glory. How do we do this? By the Spirit. It's by the Spirit. So how am I transformed? I am transformed by the Spirit. Listen, if you want to become new, it's not going to happen unless you allow the Holy Spirit to transform you. If you don't allow the Holy Spirit to transform you, you're just going to be going through the motions. But when you allow the Spirit to lead your life and you submit yourself fully to the Holy Spirit, and then you are releasing yourself that the potter can begin to work on you, reshape you, and transform you from glory to glory. Some of you here today, you need this, that I need to be transformed by the Spirit of God. You notice that it was Jesus' disciples that just came out of 3 years of internship with Jesus. They spent 3 years in a day-to-day internship. Jesus is teaching them. Jesus is leading them. Jesus is healing. They're sitting at his feet. They're working with him. They're serving with him. They're hearing all of his teachings. They're seeing all of his miracles. They're getting firsthand knowledge, what's happening in the big crowd. And they're getting mentored behind the scenes at the lunch table and at the dinner table. And when they're sitting around the campfire and the crowds are left, Jesus is teaching them. 3 years of intense discipleship with Jesus. And he's getting ready to leave, and you would think he'd be like, all right, these guys are like, man, I'm ready to go, right? Disciples are like, man, Jesus, we're going to take this gospel around the world. And they're ready to go. What's Jesus say to them? 3 years of receiving information. And Jesus says, wait. I mean, I bet that really didn't go over well with them at first. Jesus says, wait. He wanted them to wait. It was something he was wanting to do, was wait. Look what John 20 says in verse 19 through 22. On this evening, that first day of the week, when disciples were together with the doors locked in fear. Remember, Jesus has been crucified. And so they think they're going to be next. So now they're in fear. Jesus came, stood among them. He appeared to them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed him his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me. Now he says, I'm going to send you. And with that, he what? Breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, isn't it amazing that Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit? Where do we see God breathing in Scripture? Breathing on. Well, yeah, remember in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, that God took the dust of the earth and he breathed life into man. So when Jesus came and he breathed into the Holy Spirit, this is what happens to you and I, that when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we know that he make him Lord of our life. Now he takes his Holy Spirit, if we'll allow him, and he'll breathe new life into us. A new nature he wants to breathe into us. A new thing he's wanting to do in our life. If we allow the Holy Spirit, Jesus wants to blow and breathe into us, into our life, a new spirit. Then he said, wait. Look what it says here in the next scripture in Acts chapter 1. And being assembled together with them. Now Jesus is getting ready to leave. Look what he tells his disciples. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to what? It's all together. But to wait. Come on, let's say it. But to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For truly John baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now we see something happening here that Jesus said, you need to go and wait for the Holy Spirit. You've been empowered with knowledge. You've been trained with knowledge, but before you go out acting on this knowledge, he goes, wait until you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. You see what's happening here? He says, wait until you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. See, we can have all this knowledge. We can take all these notes. We can attend church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. But in order for it to be an operation of power in our life, it's got to be breathed on by the Holy Spirit, and we got to wait on the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us. But Pastor, I was always taught that the Holy Spirit was just happening for biblical times. It was just happened in the upper room. It was just a one-time thing. Let me tell you, you were taught wrong. Because we see in Scripture all through the New Testament, we see where at different times people receive Jesus and then they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's all through Scripture. It's all in there. And it wasn't just for biblical times. It was for today. It was for today. I don't have time to prove that for you. Just believe me when I say that Scripture backs this principle up that the Holy Spirit is for today. And you need the Holy Spirit to be operating in your life today. Well, I didn't know that. Well, you know now. And I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit's going to do something in your life. The Holy Spirit's getting ready to do something great in your life for those who are ready to submit it. You shall receive what? Power. Everybody say power. That word power translates to dunamis, which is the same word we use for dynamite. I mean, you're going to receive dynamite power in the spirit realm. How many want that kind of thing? See, some of you are stuck right now. You've been spinning your wheels spiritually, wondering why I'm stuck with this place. I'm stuck here. I'm stuck here. I can't get past this addiction. I can't get past this problem. I can't get past this in my life. I'm stuck. I'm stuck. I'm stuck. I'm stuck. No, what you need is some dunamis power of the Holy Spirit in your life. It will change your situation. It will change you. It will allow the potter to remake you. It gives you the power for God to remake you in your life. He says, you'll be my witnesses. Man, he wants us to experience his power. I want to read to you one of the most profound things I believe the Holy Spirit's ever spoken to me as a pastor. I've shared it in the past, and I want to share it today. Being filled with the Spirit is not about how much of the Spirit we have, but how much does the Spirit have of you? Think about that. See, we've always been taught, I got to get more of the Holy Spirit. I got to get more of the Holy Spirit. Get more of the Holy Spirit. When really, it's just the opposite. I've got to give myself to more of the Holy Spirit. I've got to yield myself more to the Holy Spirit. I've got to allow myself to be immersed in full surrender to the Holy Spirit. I've got to allow myself to be given to the Holy Spirit in fullness. We have got to learn to give ourselves all 100%, submitting ourselves to the potter. And we do that by submitting to the Holy Spirit in our life. But I like the feeling, Pastor. I like the feeling when I'm in a Holy Ghost service and I feel the Holy Spirit moving. Let me tell you, it's more than a feeling. And let me tell you, when you feel the Holy Spirit, you will feel something. I have people who leave here every week and tell me, man, Pastor, man, I felt the Holy Spirit today. Man, I felt something today. That's the Holy Spirit. It's here because we're welcoming him here. We're opening up our hearts and our voices and our lives. And we're saying, welcome, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Move among us. We're wanting that. And you're going to feel something. But listen, I'm not worried about what you feel. I'm worried about how you walk it out and live it out on Monday. You can say, I feel it all you want, but if you don't leave here and submit yourself to the Holy Spirit on Monday morning, what good is it doing? I felt it, but I'm not living it. No, I want you to live it. I want you to surrender to it every day of your life. It's more than just a feeling. A feeling will happen. A feelings happen when the Holy Spirit is moving in your life, but a mature believer moves beyond just wanting the feeling and says, now I want to walk it out. I got to walk it out every day, surrendering my life to the Holy Spirit, wanting to submit myself fully. I had somebody who I've ran into before several times at the store. How many guys here really like going to the store? Any men here like going to the store? You don't know you, right? See, ladies, this is what happened. For a guy, my job, when I go to the store, my job is to get the list. And my job is to get in that store and get out of that store in record time. Right? Come on. Any guys say amen? This is the way as men we are wired. I'm going to break the record. I got 10 items. All right. Are you ready to go? I'm going to go in. I got my map. I'm mapping things out in my mind before I ever get there. I mean, when I go to a new store, it throws me off because I want to know where everything's at so I can take the right route to get in and out and hit that line just right. Boom. Record time. That's the way guys think. Now, ladies, you're just the opposite. You go to this side, back over to this side, back over to this side, from the front to the back, to the right, to the left, and back over to the right, and back to the back, and back to the front. You'll circle the store 4 or 5 times. Why? We all know why. Because you want to break from your kids and you don't want to go back home. That's why. We know what's happening. It's all right to admit it. I'm going to thank the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just looking for somebody to talk to in the store, have an adult conversation. But as a man, I want to get in and get out. And many times I run into people. And, you know, I'll just tell you, whether it's at the gym or at the store, I'll run into people and I'll see them and they'll come up and want to talk. And I'm thinking, well, I'm going to get in and get out. But, you know, I stop and I talk and they have problems. They want to talk and I'll listen. They'll tell me their problems, tell me some of the things they're going through. And I'll give them some great biblical advice and practical advice on how to change the situation. And then 2 weeks later, I run into the same person. 100,000 people will come and shop here today, this weekend. Over 100,000 people will come to the 4-state area and shop in this area today. And I'll run into the same person every week is what it seems like. Have you ever been there? You know what I'm talking about. And they'll come to me, hey. And they'll sit down and they'll talk to me about the same problem they just told me 2 weeks ago. And I'll tell them the same answer and advice I gave them 2 weeks ago. And then 2 weeks later, I'll run into them again. And they're not taking anything I'm giving them, none of the guidance I give them. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, I'm off the clock and I'm giving you some free counseling. I'm giving you some one-on-one right here because I just want to be nice, you know, and I want to care about you and I want to give you some good things. I'm giving you some great life advice, but you won't use any of it in your life. So about the fourth time I see you, I'm going to go down the second aisle, okay? I think I'll go the long way around. Because why? I don't want to get stuck in a conversation here about your problems when you won't take any of the advice you're asking me to give you and I'm giving it to you. You're not using any of it. So don't come crying to me when you won't apply or try to use anything I'm giving you. See, how many of us, as believers, we live our life the same way every day of our life? He has given us the Holy Spirit in our life every day to use, and we ignore the Holy Spirit every day. We don't allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. We don't allow the Holy Spirit to direct us. We don't allow the Holy Spirit to change us. We don't allow the Holy Spirit to better our plan for our life that God's got for us, to be revealed, to follow steps of change. The Holy Spirit is wanting to form this thing with us, this bond with us, where He's leading us, guiding us, changing us, giving us not only knowledge, but letting our heart be transformed in the process. And we ignore Him every day. I mean, you've heard me say this. How much would our life change that when we get up every morning, we would acknowledge the Holy Spirit and say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit, let's roll. Let's do this thing. Let's do this thing." When you're driving to work or you're driving to take your kids to school and you drop them off and you're by yourself in the car, if you just simply say, "Holy Spirit, hey, what's on the agenda today? Holy Spirit, what are we going to do today? Holy Spirit, speak to me today." I promise you, if you will ask, He will talk. I promise you, if you will speak to Him, and I say Him because He's not a it, He's a Him. He's a part of the Godhead. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so when you're talking to the Holy Spirit, you're talking to God Himself, the Spirit of the God He has given to us. And He says you can talk to Him, and He will speak back to us. But we never take advantage of it. And then we wonder why we're stuck where we're at. Living our life with no power, living our life in the same season after season after season. No, how about we learn to submit to the potter and say, "Holy Spirit, what are we going to do today? Holy Spirit, I'm surrendering my life fully to your will." Look what it says here in Acts 4. Acts 4:31 and verse 33. After they prayed, the place that they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word, the word of God boldly with great power. The apostles continued to testify of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. I've had people ask me, what are the signs of the Holy Spirit? And when I was growing up, the only thing I ever heard was, you just get the heavenly language, man. You speak your heavenly language. That's the only sign of the Holy Spirit. But this scripture right here tells you what the signs follow those who were filled with the Holy Spirit. Look what happened. As soon as they were filled, the place was shaken. And the Holy Spirit spoke. They spoke the word of God boldly. See, some of you've been timid. You've been very timid in your spirit about speaking the word of God. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to come and fill you and lead you, you'll find yourself speaking godly principles. You'll find yourself speaking the Word of God. You'll find yourself quoting something I preached on 3 weeks ago that you didn't even know you remembered, and the Holy Spirit's going to bring it up, and you're going to use it in a conversation with boldness. Why? Because you're being led of the Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit... They gave God boldly. He spoke of the word of God boldly with great power. They testified of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You'll find yourself, when you're filled with the Spirit, you'll find yourself testifying with great power. Hey, I used to be a mess, but God changed me. I used to be a person who had all these things going on, but the Holy Spirit is changing me. When I gave my life to Christ, He is changing me. My marriage is changing. My life is changing. My attitude is changing. My family is changing. And you'll testify boldly with great power, because the Holy Spirit is leading you. What else happens? It says, and then He says that they will what? And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. I love this because you want to know if somebody's really being filled with the Spirit? You want to know if somebody's really being filled with the Spirit? I can tell you. This is how you can tell. When they walk around with the powerful grace in their life, when they walk at the people that have done them wrong for years, that have spoken evil against them, that have slandered them, that have stabbed them in the back relationally, that have done them wrong in business, had done them wrong, had talked bad about them and their family, had done all these things that give you all the reasons in the world to hate them and not to have anything to do with them. When you see those people and you can give them grace even when they didn't ask for it, the Holy Spirit is working in your life. When you give people grace, I can tell you that God has given me, through the power of the Holy Spirit, as I've been led by the Spirit, there's been times I've walked up to people who have spoken evil over me, planned evil against me, spoke to people and lied about me, slandered about me, and I can walk up to them, I can hug them, I can look them in the eye and say, hey, how you doing? Do I like them? No, I don't like them. But you know what? I'm like, God, I'm giving them grace. God, you've given me grace. I'm going to pour it out onto them, God. I'm going to give them grace beyond what they deserve. I'm going to give them grace. Why? It's not me. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you, never more do I feel the operation of the Holy Spirit in my life than when I forgive somebody who doesn't deserve it. Wow. See, when you are being led by the Spirit and you're being filled with the Spirit, you'll speak your testimony boldly. You'll proclaim the word of the Lord boldly. You'll have operations of the gifts of the Spirit happen in your life. Some of you say, then, where does the spiritual language come in, Pastor? It's there for every believer. And I invite you to come this Wednesday night because we're right in the middle of a study on the Holy Spirit. And this Wednesday night, we're going to talk more about that spiritual language and why it's there for every believer. If you got questions, this would be a great Wednesday night to come at 7 o'clock. Join us for that study. But we see that the Holy Spirit is wanting us to submit fully. We must be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to ask our musicians to come this morning. And I just want to tell you, as I have been in prayer about the season for our church, for this area, for even the nation, as we enter into the season of electing a new president, and we enter into a season of so much change, Supreme Court nominees coming up, and so many important things happening. As I've been praying in my spirit, I can tell you this, that I personally feel that God is getting ready to do something very powerful in the Holy Spirit. That he's getting ready to pour out the Holy Spirit fresh and anew for those who want it. I'm telling you, he's going to do something across this nation, because where darkness prevails, the light of God is even stronger. Let me tell you, when you see the getting dark, just know it always gets darkest before the dawn, okay? That God is getting ready to do something. And Satan's doing his very best to distract. Satan's doing his very best to call it a distraction, because God's getting ready to show up and do something very great. And I believe we're going to see a wave of the Holy Spirit sweep across the country. And the churches and people who are hungry for it are going to experience it fresh and anew. Let me tell you, this generation, we need a move of the Holy Spirit. This generation needs more than donuts and a coffee. They need more. Those things are okay for getting people in the building. They need more than lights and video. Those things are okay, and they help us reach the next generation. I'm all for it. And I'm going to invest in reaching the next generation. But what's really going to reach them to the fullest is when we have the power of the Holy Spirit evident in our services, in our lives, in our marriages, in our life groups, in our ministries. When we leave here and people are talking with boldness on Monday, what's happening in their life through the Holy Spirit, when they testify through the boldness of the Holy Spirit, when they're giving out grace on Wednesday through the boldness of the Holy Spirit, God is moving. I want to be a part of that. And that comes when we say, God, I want to be led in the Spirit. God, I want to walk in this new Spirit. Some of you here, you've experienced the Spirit of God before. You've been touched by the Spirit. And I just say, don't allow yourself to be touched by the Spirit. Say, God, I want to be immersed in the Spirit. I want to fully surrender. I want to immerse myself in the Spirit. I want to walk it out, not just on Sunday, but on Monday. And I want to get up and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Let's walk and talk. Good afternoon, Holy Spirit. What do you want me to do? Come on, Holy Spirit, lead me, change me, transform me, reshape me. Take my marred clay and reshape me into the vessel you want to use me. If that's you today, I want you to stand on your feet and say, Pastor, I want the Holy Spirit not just to touch me, but I want to be changed. I want to be led in this new Spirit. I want the Spirit of God to lead me. We're going to close with this song that says, with everything, if you want to come down to the front, we open up the altars. You're more than welcome to step out. You don't have to, but if you want to, feel free to step to the front and say, yes, I want to give my life totally to the Holy Spirit. I'm ready to submit totally to the Holy Spirit. Come, let's worship.
Come on, if you want to come down to the front, come on, as we close out this service, we're just going to sing this simple song that says,
give God praise this morning. Father, we love you. I'll kind of ask you to just lift your hands one more time. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit. We pray and ask that you would forgive us, God, for ignoring the very gift you've given us. God, forgive us for ignoring the very gift of your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that this week, starting today, that something fresh and new would happen in the heart of every believer in this room. That God, as they begin to yield themselves to the Holy Spirit every day of their life, that God, they begin to hear the Holy Spirit daily. They would say, God, make me. God, make me, remake me, form me, change me. God, use me, God, in a way after you remake me. God, make me into the vessel you want me to be. And Father, I pray right now that God, you begin to breathe new life, the new Spirit into every believer in this room. Father, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit be breathed upon every person in this room right now. In Jesus' name, receive ye the Holy Spirit right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray that something new is happening in your life today. Something new is happening as the Holy Spirit is being poured out right now to every believer in this room. Father, I pray and speak over them today that God, that you would allow your Holy Spirit to breathe fresh upon them today. And God, we would make a new bond. A new bond, a new commitment with the Holy Spirit, saying we're not going to allow it to stay dormant in our life, but we're going to develop that relationship. We're going to hear your voice. We're going to declare boldly the word of the Lord. We're going to testify with power, and we're going to give away grace. Give away grace. May grace flow out of us powerfully, abundantly, that we can be shaped, remade into the image of our Father. Well, grace so much abounds in you, Father. And we thank you. We say, amen. Come on, if you believe that, receive that. Put your hands together today. Come on, let's bless the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, Father. You guys should have some great discussion tonight in your life groups. This is going to be good. God bless you. We love you. Thank you so much for being here. You guys have a great afternoon.